Well, we come to part two in our sermon series called Empowered. We're talking about the Holy Spirit specifically. And so if you have your Bible this morning, turn over to the book of Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 21. Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to look specifically this morning at verses 15 through 21. So as I mentioned, this is part two. Last week, we talked about the Holy Spirit, who He is specifically. He is equal to God and Jesus, the Trinity. We talk a lot about that, and we understand that. And they're all equal together. They're all God. And the Holy Spirit is present in the life of every believer. And as He is present in our lives, He has specific roles that He plays within our lives. He is our convictor. He indwells us. He is the one who gives life. And He teaches. He unifies. He equips. You know, one of the things that Jesus prayed for before He was arrested and went to the cross was the unity among believers. And the only way that we can accomplish that is by the filling of the Holy Spirit and letting Him control us. And so those are specific roles that the Holy Spirit plays in our lives. And so this morning, we're going to shift gears a little bit and discover from Scripture how we can be filled with the Holy Spirit. How can we truly be filled with the Holy Spirit? We talk a lot about that. We throw those words out there. You know, I want to be filled with the Spirit. Well, what does that mean? What does that look like? How can we go about that? Well, today we're going to talk about that. And so we're going to read our scripture together first, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 21. So you read along with me as we read this scripture together. Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, and he says, "Pay careful attention then to how you walk, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. So don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. And don't get drunk with wine, which leads to reckless living, but be filled by the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making music with your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of Christ." So Paul gives us some very important words here. And he uses an analogy here that I want to focus on here first. He uses an analogy here in verse 18 of wine and the Holy Spirit. Now when we look at those two things, just not thinking spiritually, we think you couldn't think of something probably that was more of a polar opposite than those two. But Paul gives a very good illustration here about wine versus the Holy Spirit. Now, we have to remember the audience with whom Paul is writing. Remember, he's writing to the church at Corinth. In Ephesus. And he's writing to these Christians who were in Ephesus. And if you don't know a lot about the city of Ephesus, the city of Ephesus had a lot of pagan people. And these pagan people worshipped lots of different gods. Okay, there were different ones that they worshipped. The interesting thing here is that many of these pagan people, they thought, now why they thought this, I don't know, but they thought that in order to worship their God, they needed to do so while being drunk. It was in this altered state, you know, these pagan people thought that in order to worship God, they needed to be drunk. So in other words, they thought in order to determine the will of their God and to be led by Him, they needed to be drunk. He's like, wow, that sounds kind of fun, you know. Wow, what kind of religion is that? But Paul is trying to make a point here. Because it was in their minds, it was this drunken state that they could really draw close to their God. And in their drunkenness, their actions, you know, we understand what happens when somebody is impaired by alcohol or drugs. It impairs their actions and it impairs their behavior. They become altered in a way that they do things that they probably are going to regret later on. And so these pagan people, in their drunkenness, their actions and their behavior would be altered. And again, in their minds, that's when they could really hear and be led in the right way. And that sounds crazy when we think about it. But that's exactly why Paul wrote what he wrote in verse 18. And so by contrast, when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, not wine, when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, guess what's going to happen? His Spirit is going to alter our behavior. It's going to change the way we think. We're going to be empowered to do things that perhaps we wouldn't do generally. It's because we've been filled with the Holy Spirit. He's going to be able to guide us and influence us, and we'll be able to be led by Him. And we'll be able to align our daily choices and decisions with the wisdom and truth that comes from Him. So this brings me to a very important question, and one that I know that we all want answered, is how can I be filled with the Holy Spirit? Okay? If Paul says, be filled with the Spirit, not wine, how can I do that? Well, really, it comes down to allowing ourselves to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Now, we should all understand by now that the filling of the Holy Spirit is different than the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I think we all understand that. As we learned last week, our salvation begins with the Spirit. That's why Paul told the church at Ephesus, listen, you guys have gotten away. In the beginning, it was the Spirit that saved you. And now you're putting in all these other things, all these rituals that you feel like you have to follow, and the circumcision and all that, and you feel like it's the Spirit plus these things. And Paul said, you started with the Spirit, finish with the Spirit. Our salvation begins with the Spirit. It begins with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. In other words, when we came into a personal relationship with Christ, we received at that time, at that moment in time, we received the Holy Spirit. And we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Paul talks about that. Therefore, we understand in our lives, because the Spirit dwells in us, for us, there's never a non-sacred moment in our lives. You know, a lot of times we refer to the church building as the house of God. But this is just a building. And I understand that. I'm preaching to the choir this morning. Our lives, we are the temple of God. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. So we are indwelt with the Spirit from the time of salvation. However, we need to understand, though, that if we're all indwelt and we're blood-bought believers and we're all indwelt with the Holy Spirit, we need to understand that not all Christians are at the same level spiritually. Maybe a better way of saying is that not all Christians are equal in their willingness to be yielded to the Lord. And so if Paul addresses this church at Ephesus, or when he, now I'm saying Ephesus when I should be saying Corinth. Man, I'm having trouble here. So in 1 Corinthians 3:1, Paul wrote to them, he said, brothers, I was not able to speak to you as spiritual people, but as what? As people of the flesh, as babies in Christ. And so he's saying, listen, not all of you are equal in your relationship with the Lord. You're on different levels spiritually. Some of you are mature and you are where you should be, but some of you are still like those babies, because you're not on the same level. And so that shows us that not all Christians are equal. The difference is related to the work of the Holy Spirit, I believe, in a person's heart. And again, every Christian is indwelt by the Spirit, but every Christian does not live according to the Spirit. Or in other words, they don't let the Spirit control them. So when I say that we have to allow ourselves to be controlled by the Holy Spirit, this means, here's what it means, guys. This means we must walk and live our lives in the power of the Holy Spirit. But how do we do that? Well, a good description of the filling of the Holy Spirit is allowing the Holy Spirit to have control. We've talked about that. And go back to what Paul said earlier. Look at verse 18 again. He said, don't get drunk with wine, which leads to reckless living, but be filled by the Spirit. And so people who are drunk are people who are filled, or people who are drunk and people who are filled with the Holy Spirit have the same thing in common. Not the same thing, but they have certain issue or certain characteristics in common. They're both controlled people. They're both controlled people. And their lives and their behavior are altered by which is filling them at that moment. Okay, for instance, if you're filled with fear, then it's fear that controls your life, right? If you're filled with anger, then anger is what controls your life. If you're filled with love, then love is what is going to control your life. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, then it's the Holy Spirit that controls your life. And I heard somebody once say, he said, being filled with the Holy Spirit doesn't mean I have more of the Spirit. It means that the Spirit has more of me. So here's the bottom line, okay? Here's where we're getting into it, guys. When we're saved, we have to recognize that Jesus is our Lord. This means His Spirit is our Lord, nothing else. And I'm reminded of what Jesus said in Matthew 6:24. He said, "No one can be a slave of two masters, since either he will hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other." He said, you cannot be slaves of God and money. And so when we make other things our Lord, guess what? We're not filled with the Holy Spirit. We're not controlled by the Holy Spirit. But when we make Jesus our Lord, we will be controlled by the Spirit. It's that simple. Paul said in Romans 6:13, he said, "And do not offer any parts of it to sin as weapons for unrighteousness, but as those who are alive from the dead, offer yourselves to God and all the parts of yourselves to God as weapons for righteousness." He also said in Romans 12:1-2, "Therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God." So guys, as I read those verses and understand kind of the bigger context of things, the key to being controlled or filled by the Holy Spirit is to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice unto the Lord. When we make a conscious effort to live our lives in a way that is pleasing to Him, to do things His way, to follow what His Word says, when we do these things, when we make this conscious effort and do what is holy and pleasing to God, that is when we are truly filled with the Holy Spirit. And Paul says, whenever we do this, it's at that point that we'll be able to discern what His will is and we'll be controlled by His Spirit. In other words, when we follow His Word, and last week we talked about how the Holy Spirit, one of His roles is to teach us. When we're taught anything spiritual at church, at home, when we read God's Word, when we hear a sermon, when we go to Sunday school, we learn stuff, it's the direct result of the Holy Spirit's teaching us. The people that are teaching or preaching are just the vessel that God is using. But when God speaks to us, His Spirit is teaching us. And so when we follow His Word, when He teaches us, and when we follow His plans and do things His way, we're controlled with the Spirit. You see, there's nothing magical about it. We think, well, this has got to happen, and I got to wink and blink and step and do this and hop on one foot and chew gum and talk at the same time. And then when all these things happen, then I'm going to be filled with the Spirit. No, it's as simple as following God's Word and letting our lives be pleasing to Him and under His control. And what are the results going to be? Well, He's going to give us power. And His Spirit gives us power. I think about, you know, the story of Peter and John. We're going through the book of Acts in Sunday school. And I think, remember the story of Peter and John when they're approaching the temple and there's this guy begging for food. And they said, we don't have any money, but what we do have you, we give you in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. And it caused a great commotion, and lots of people came to know Christ, and it caused an uproar in the city. And Peter and John were brought before the Sanhedrin. And what did the Sanhedrin say? Don't do that anymore. Don't preach in the name of Jesus. Don't cause any more uprising, or there's going to be a lot of trouble for you. So what did Peter and John do? They went back to the group of believers. They prayed. And basically what they prayed in Acts chapter 4 is, listen, Lord, consider their threats, but empower us with your spirit that we might do what is pleasing to you. They're basically saying, listen, we've already decided that we are going to proclaim the name of Jesus. It doesn't matter what these guys say or how they threaten us. We've already decided with our lives that we're going to do this. They're essentially saying, Lord, we are submitting to your will to be obedient to share the gospel. And as they did, what happened? The Bible says literally the place where they were gathering together and they prayed, literally the place shook. I don't understand what that means or what that looked like, but it is what it is, and that's what God's word says. Literally the place where they're praying shook, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God boldly. It's because they had already decided, I am going to do what is pleasing in God's eyes. There was nothing magical about that moment. They decided, I'm going to follow God's plan for my life. And it's amazing that they were filled with this boldness all of a sudden. This mentality came into their minds and into their hearts. It flowed inside of them, and they did, and God gave them the power to do what they'd already said they were going to do. That's what I'm trying to say in all this. And I don't know that I said it very well earlier, but hopefully you understand now. Because when we decide to do things God's way, that's when we're truly filled with the Holy Spirit. So what are the results of being filled with the Holy Spirit? Went the wrong way. The results of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Paul lists some things here for us. Now, this is not all the results. This is some things. But I think it's interesting what he mentions here in the verses after verse 18. One of the things he mentions here, the results of being filled with the Holy Spirit, is making music in your heart to the Lord. Notice what he says there. He said in verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making music with your heart to the Lord. If you look up that phrase in the Greek, it literally means making melody in your heart to the Lord. And as I read that, what I see there is when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, this means that we're going to sing praises unto the Lord from inside. Now, sometimes that manifests itself in people writing worship music to share with others. I mean, all the songs that we sang this morning were written by somebody under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And some of the songs were older and some of the songs were newer. But these songs, the Holy Spirit inspired people, and they shared them with the rest of the world so that we could enjoy them and use them to worship our Heavenly Father. And so sometimes those psalms and songs are shared with others, but sometimes the Lord gives us a song in our heart that shouldn't be shared with anybody else. And we share that directly with the Lord. Most of the time, making music in your heart to the Lord, it manifests itself with a desire for us to inwardly praise the Lord from a joyful heart. In other words, we're going to want to joyfully praise the Lord. And listen, it does not matter how well you sing. Aren't you glad? Some of you are laughing and shaking your head. It doesn't matter. It matters what's in your heart. The joy that comes from inside. It's the filling of the Holy Spirit. It's a byproduct. And listen, joy, last time I checked, you go read in Galatians 5, joy is one of the byproducts of the Spirit, right? The fruits of the Spirit, a fruit is a byproduct of a plant. Joy is a byproduct of being filled with the Holy Spirit. But listen, this joy comes from abiding with Christ. And it's constant, no matter what our circumstance is. Somebody that I really respect is Warren Wiersbe, and I really like what Warren Wiersbe said here. He said, this kind of joy is not a thermometer, but a thermostat. Instead of rising and falling with circumstances, it determines the spiritual temperature of the circumstances. The joy that we have can be joy no matter what the circumstance of life that we're in. And that's a result of the Holy Spirit, guys. So God welcomes expressions of praise from His people. He desires us to bring joyful melody from our hearts to His. And when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we're going to be quick to do this. So that's one of the things that we see here. He also mentions giving thanks in all things. We've talked a lot about this, you know, especially during Thanksgiving. I mean, that's going to be here before we know it. But we understand, and I've talked about before, that the phrase give thanks comes from the Greek word eucharisteo. And if you recall at the Lord's Supper, it's sometimes referred to as the Eucharist. And so when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper at the Passover with his disciples, and that's kind of when we think about giving thanks, he broke bread and he drank from the cup, and the Bible says he did so by giving thanks. That's the same word used there. And so when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, giving thanks is the act of showing appreciation for the gifts and blessings that we have. And these things are not what we're entitled to, but things that God has freely given us because of His great love for us. And listen, we understand it's real easy to thank God when things are going our way, right? We got the promotion, we got the raise, we're healthy, our vehicles are running perfectly, everything's good with my house, no problems at all. But what about when we lose our job? What about when we struggle with health issues, or our loved one dies, or our car needs repair? How can I give thanks in those circumstances? Well, we just have to acknowledge that God's wisdom in all things, He's smarter than we are. He knows the beginning and the end. And we have to trust in Him. And we have to realize that His wisdom is greater than ours. And when we do that, we can say, thank you, Lord, no matter what is happening around us. And I'm not saying it's easy, and as hard as it may be to be thankful in everything, what's the alternative? Think about that. What's the alternative? To give in to despair? To curse God? You know, to be angry? If you refuse to give God thanks in everything, you're basically saying, you know what, God? I know better than you. And I don't think any of us would want to do that. So we have to focus on what's eternal rather than the things of the earth. Material things come and go. Buildings crumble, cars need repair, our bodies break down, but the kingdom of God lasts forever. Amen. So an expression of being filled with the Spirit is giving thanks in all things, but then he finally says submission to one another, which basically is unity. You're not going to be unified together when we're not willing to submit to one another. And if you go and read further, you get into what Paul is talking about with wives and husbands, submission and all that, loving Christ as, or loving our wives as Christ loved the church. But we leave off verse 21 often when it says submitting to one another. So the submission should be mutual. And as we discussed last week, one of the things that Jesus prayed for before he went to the cross was for believers to be unified. And the only way that we can be unified together for the sake of the gospel is to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. And that's why Paul wrote in Philippians 1:27, he said, just one thing, live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come to you or I'm absent, I will hear about you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, working side by side for the faith that comes from the gospel. And so whenever the Spirit of God is in control, people who are under His control are going to be unified, and they're going to love and keep the main thing the main thing. But it comes from, again, the filling of the Holy Spirit. So Paul mentions a few things here. That is not an exhaustive list. We know there's lots of more things that come with us being filled with the Holy Spirit. But Paul lists a few here to get our and to get us to thinking about it. And so hopefully that's a part of your life. There's one more thing that I want to mention. And Paul doesn't really talk about it here, but just overall, we need to understand this. What are some of the hindrances of the filling of the Holy Spirit? Well, it's simply put, it's sin and self and rebellion against God. That will prevent you from the filling of the Holy Spirit. Doesn't mean you've lost the Holy Spirit. Doesn't mean that you're not indwelt. Doesn't mean you've lost your salvation. We understand that. But we still sin. We still put ourselves in control. We rebel against God. And when we do that, that will hinder us from being filled with the Holy Spirit. When we give into sinful temptations and worldly desires, when we lose control and do what we know is wrong, living as we did before accepting Christ, that's when we prevent God's Spirit from guiding us and influencing us and governing our behavior. That's when we let self rather than Spirit control us. And guys, when we let self control us rather than Spirit, guess what it always leads to? It always leads to brokenness. And you don't have to look very far in our world today to see the brokenness all around us. The brokenness is all around us. It's because people have let self control rather than Spirit control. And guys, sometimes, yes, even we as Christians can lead to the brokenness because we refuse to do things God's way. If you do things God's way, He's going to fill us. There's going to be great things are going to come as a result of that. But when we don't do it God's way and we let self be in control, it's always going to lead to brokenness. And we can see that evidence all around us. So guys, here's the bottom line. Living for Christ equals empowered. When we live for Him, we're going to be filled by Him. He's going to empower us to do what He's called us to do because we've already submitted our lives to do it. That's when the filling comes, when we submit to Him and do things His way. When we live for self, to borrow a word from our culture today, that equals snowflake. We're a snowflake. We're a nothing. We're going to fail. We're going to be broken. And we're not going to be used by God. Living for Christ equals empowered. Living for self equals empty. All right? I want to add one more thing as a loving reminder. And this goes for me as much as it does for anyone. And we've already talked about the Holy Spirit is never, it's not just for our own benefit. The Holy Spirit is never given merely for our own enjoyment and fulfillment. And we understand that we have been given the Spirit and God has sent His Holy Spirit to enable us, the church, to live for Him in this world. But here's the thing, guys. When so often we pray that God will, Lord, change our world, send revival, change the world. That's not a wrong prayer, and we should pray that. But the change needs to begin in the church. And let me just say, when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, our world will be a better one. When the church is filled with the Holy Spirit, we're going to be a better church. We need to be looking inward many times when we're looking outward. I'm not saying huddle down in the church and don't do what we're supposed to do sharing the gospel, but I'm saying when it comes to revival, revival starts here. Amen? And so, be filled with the Holy Spirit. It starts with us. And maybe this morning you've not been living under the control of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you need to pray a prayer of repentance. And I know that I have to sometimes in my life. So let your prayer be something like this. It's just something that came from my heart and something that I pray at times. Dear Lord, I want all of You. I want Your Holy Spirit to fill me out. And I'm sorry that I've been living for self, and as a result, I've let self be in control. And no longer will I conform to this age. And this morning I truly offer my life to you as a living sacrifice. I want to know what your good and perfect will is for my life. And so I surrender my life to your Spirit to control every part of me. Maybe that's a prayer that you need to pray this morning. Something like that. Not word for word there, but let it be from your heart. Maybe you say, well, Pastor, I know I've been living for self and I've not been living controlled by the Spirit because I simply have not been doing His will for my life. I've not been doing things His way. And as a result, I've been weak and ineffective. When we live for self, it leads to being weak and ineffective. Snowflake. When we live for Christ, when we're controlled by His Spirit, it leads to being empowered. It's not magical. There's no magic formula that we have to recite or do or say. It simply comes from living our lives God's way. And maybe you need to make that commitment today, but maybe for you, you need to put your faith and trust in Jesus for the very first time. You can't live by the Spirit or live in the power of the Spirit if you don't know Jesus, the Son of God. That's where our salvation begins, is accepting what He's done for us on the cross. And the way that you do that is by admitting that you're a sinner. We all have sin in our life. And we need to admit that. And then we need to ask forgiveness and turn away from our sin. And then we need to believe in what Jesus has done for us. He lived, He died, He was buried, He rose again. Prove that He was the real thing, that He was God's gift to sinners. And then finally, commit your life to Jesus as Savior and Lord. We talked a lot about making Jesus our Lord today. That's part of it. That means He's our boss. We're going to follow His leading and do what He's called us to do. So commit your life to Jesus as Savior and Lord. And so Andrew's going to come and lead us in a song of commitment. And maybe today you need to pray that prayer of forgiveness. First of all, before you can ever be living in the Spirit or being controlled by the Spirit or being filled by the Holy Spirit, you need to invite God's Spirit to live inside of you for the very first time. Now you can pray that prayer simply in your heart to the Lord. Or you, if you want to come talk to me, I'll be right down here at the front and I will help you pray that prayer. Maybe you need to pray a prayer of repentance that, Lord, I've been living for self. And I need to live for your Spirit. I need to do things your way. Because when I do things your way, your Spirit fills me and I'm empowered. And all of a sudden, these great things that you did, the same things that you did in the life of the apostles and the disciples and the followers that we read about in the New Testament, those very same things God wants to do through us. It might look differently, it might seem different, but He still wants to do signs and wonders through us. I'm not saying we're going to lay hands on people or people are going to walk in our shadows and be healed. I'm not saying that. But what if God did want to do that through us? Would we even be ready for it? Do we have an expectation that God can do that? We just need to be ready. We need to submit and let ourselves be in control. Know what we know, do what we know to do. Sometimes God shows us other things that we need to do. Do it. All the while we'll be filled with the Spirit and empowered to live for Him. Maybe you need to make that prayer today and that commitment to Him. If there's anything else you need to talk about, I'll be right down here at the front. You can talk with me. We can meet later on this week. But I pray that you will let the Spirit work in your heart this morning. All right, let me pray. And then Andrew's going to come. Father, I just pray today that in spite of everything, your Spirit is speaking to us. That we've heard. That we're going to listen now. We're going to be obedient to you. Lord, whatever that looks like, we just invite you and we open up our lives to you right now to have your way in us. Lord, this is your time to work and we invite you in.
And we ask this in the powerful name of Jesus.